The Apostle Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem. The Jews sought to kill him. In fact, there were a group of 40 men that took an oath and bound themselves together that they wouldn't eat or they wouldn't drink till Paul was dead. The Roman captain that had arrested him, because they were beating him when he came on the scene, heard about this plot and, under heavy guard, over 200 soldiers, sent him to the Roman governor Felix in a city called Caesarea. And now he had been tried not only before Felix, but before the Roman governor that took over after Felix, a man named Festus. He had had a hearing with the Jewish king at the time, Agrippa. And his last trial, Festus, the Bible says, willing to do the Jews a favor, asked Paul, said, will you be willing to go back to Jerusalem and be tried by your own people? And Paul knew that these 40 guys that had took an oath not to eat or drink until he was dead must be getting pretty hungry by now. And so he said, no, I won't go back to Jerusalem. I appeal to Caesar. Paul was born a Roman citizen and as such had a right, as did every other Roman citizen, to appeal to the Roman leader. So rather than go back to Jerusalem and surely be killed, he exercised his Roman right and said, I want to stand before Caesar. So now as we find him in Acts chapter 27, he's on a ship on his way to Rome. And as we picked up the story where Adam began to read, a great windstorm, perhaps a hurricane. I don't know if they have hurricanes over there, but a tempestuous wind came up. They named it just like we do today, Euroclydon. And Dr. Luke, who is the human writer of the book of Acts, describes what was going on. He said, we were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. We threw all the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. And then he says, we hadn't seen the sun or the stars for many days. And then he pins in verse 20 what I think is one of the saddest pieces of scripture that's in the whole Bible. There's two or three that I would put in this category, and I don't have time to mention the other two that come to my mind right now. But one of the saddest parts in all scripture when he says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. The captain of the ship had done everything he knew to do. The experienced sailors that made up the crew had lent their expertise and they'd eliminated every option they knew how to ride out a storm. The sailors and the captain had even enlisted the passengers, and they were involved in throwing the cargo over the side into the brink. They had used ropes and they started at the head of the ship. I can't remember the term you call it, the bow. Thank you. Started at the bow, and they'd put ropes underneath the ship and tied the ropes together to hold it together. And then he said, we just let her run. I mean, we took the sails down and we just let the wind blow her wherever the wind wanted to blow her. And I can just imagine the scene. Here was a group of people that were tired, wet, cold. They'd struggled day after day. The Bible says many days. And they hadn't seen the sun or the stars all that time. And they finally came to the conclusion, we're going to die. We're dead. Doomed. No alternative. No options left. We've tried everything we know to do. What's the use? We might as well give up. There is no hope. All hope was then taken away. You know, it's a sad thing when a person or a group of people lose hope. It's a sad thing when a person or a group of people come to the point in their life where they say, I don't have any options, I don't have any alternatives, it's over, I'm just going to die. It's a sad thing when a person or a group of people comes to that point in their life. I've known people that have lost most of their hope. I mean, I've known people that have lost the vast majority of their hope. I've known people that you could probably say they've lost 99% of their hope. But even in those people, they cling to that 1%. They cling to that one last chance that they might have. A poet put it this way: hope springs eternal in the human breast. And it does. Usually people hang on to that one last shred of hope. And so it's a very, very sad thing when they come to the point and when people or a person, or like this group of people did in this passage of Scripture, that said, we lost all hope. They hadn't lost 98%. They'd lost it all. They hadn't lost 99.5%. They lost all hope that they should be saved was taken away. There was no chance. They could see no light at the end of the tunnel. They could see no sun on the horizon. They said, we're going to just die. We're going to all go to a watery grave. There's nothing else that we can do. We are doomed. And what happens next makes up my message this morning. And I have sort of divided it into 4 points. Number one, a messenger comes from God and says, fear not, God will save you. Fear not, God will save you. That messenger was an angel. And that the message he brought is recorded in verse 24. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. The angel said, hey, the ship's going to run aground. It's going to be broken up. It's going to be cast upon a certain island. But nobody, not one person, not one soul in the ship is going to die. Every single person is going to be saved. Oh, you're going to be tossed around some more. You're going to get a little bit wetter. You're probably going to be a little bit colder. But you all are going to make it. So number one, a message came from God that they were all going to be saved. Number two, they believed that message from God. You see, after the message came from the angel, the Bible says they stayed in the storm for another 14 days. They were driven up and down in the sea. And on this 14th or 15th day, they approached land. They didn't know where they were, but they sounded. I don't know if they stuck long poles down to see if they could feel the bottom of the sea, but they did something that let them know that they were approaching land. So they threw anchors overboard. The Bible tells a little story, a sub-story of the story, where the shipmen, the sailors, tried to escape. They let down a lifeboat like they were letting down another anchor, and they were all going to get in the lifeboat and leave all the passengers to themselves. But Paul saw what they were doing, and he told the Roman captain, who was his guard, said, hey, don't let these guys go. If you let them go, we're all going to perish. And so the Roman captain had the soldiers go over and cut the lifeboat, the ropes of the lifeboat, and let it fall into the sea. And Paul stood up that day and repeated the same message that he had given them 14 days earlier. And he went a little bit further. He said, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Here's what he said. Not only is nobody going to die, every single person is going to live, but not one person will lose a hair from their head as God saves us from this storm. Then the Bible says, as he repeated that message in verse 36, then they were all of good cheer. Storm was still going on. The wind was still blowing. They were still being tossed back and forth by the waves. But the Bible says they were all of good cheer because they believed the message from God. They believed what God told the angel to tell Paul, that not one person shall perish, not one person shall lose their life. In fact, not one person shall lose one hair off their head. Number three, they were all saved. Every single one of them. The Bible says in verse 37, there were 216 souls on that ship. There were 276 people on that boat. And in verse 44, And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Not 273, all of them. Not 274, all of them. Not 275, all 276 people who a few days earlier had lost all hope that they would be saved, every single one of them. Some, the Bible says, as the boat broke up, had to swim. Some didn't know how to swim, and so they had to float on boards. But every single one, all 276 people, arrived safely on that island. And then number four, they were saved to serve. You go ahead and read the rest of the story in chapter 28. They landed on that island. On that island, there were people that were sick of body that needed to be healed. And the Bible says that Paul laid his hands on them and healed them. And on that island, there were people that were sick of soul. They needed to hear the story of Jesus Christ. And Paul preached to them and won many to Christ. What a wonderful story. All hope gone. All hope that we would be saved, as Dr. Luke writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All hope that we would be saved was taken away. And yet, every single one of them made it safely to shore. There are some here this morning. You are in the same boat. You've either lost all hope, or you're in the process of losing what hope you have fast. It may be because of an illness, something physically wrong with your body. It may be because of a relationship that has been ripped apart or torn apart or is in the process of being torn apart. It may be because of finances. Whatever the reason, there are some here this morning that are in the middle of a storm. And you're being tossed about. And you've tried everything you know to try. You've exhausted all the options. You see no way out. You can't, it seems like you just can't control what's going on in your life. That some force has a hold of it and it's just shaking you like a little rag doll. And there's nothing you can do to make them stop. And you might say, like this group of people did that day, all hope that I can be saved, all hope is taken away. This morning, I want to deliver to you a message from God. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I have a God who works the best in hopeless situations. We have a God who is not bound by the possible. We have a God that can save regardless of how strong the storm or how dark the night. We have a God that knows how to get everybody safely through whatever storm they're in the middle of. There's some here this morning that you need to meet him. You need to meet this God for the first time. You need to let him save you from your sin. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us there's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is spiritual death, being separated from God forever and ever and ever. And left to our own devices, there's nothing that we can do. There is no cure for that sickness. There is absolutely no act or deed that we can do or accomplish that will change the fact that we're a sinner under the condemnation of death. There's nothing we can do. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the message I bring to you this morning is that God loves you. He loves you more than you can know. You say, well, preacher, I haven't paid any attention to him. I don't know God, but God knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. And he wants you to be with him forever and ever and ever. Now, sin still has to be paid for. He's a righteous God. He can't just overlook our sin. has to be paid for, and the penalty is still death. But he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to live among us. He told us about God, told us about heaven, told us about hell. And then God allowed him, and he allowed himself to be taken and nailed to a cross. And as Jesus was on that cross, God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins and placed them on his Son. And when Jesus suffered on Calvary, he paid the price for every one of our sins. Some of you here this morning know that. You've been saved from that penalty already, but you're still in a storm. It's not the storm of being separated from God, it's a storm of life. And again, it may come for various reasons. Illness, relationships. But if you were to describe your life this morning, you use some of the same words that these people that were in the storm that we read about would use. You're tired. You're discouraged. You've lost hope. You're saying, what's the use? Might as well give up. It's over. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. There's a fear not in the Bible. There's over 365 of them. There's one for every day and then some extra added in. I would remind you, child of God, God is not done with you yet. You listen to me. If God were done with you, if there was nothing else that he wanted you to do on this earth, he would take you to heaven. He would not put you through another storm. You're one of his children. If he was done with you, he'd take you home and you'd see Jesus and you'd walk on heaven's streets. He's not done with you. The fact that you're in a storm says there's something else he wants you to do, and he's got to send you through the storm to get ready to do it. Huh? Do you ever think about that? God doesn't put us through storms just because he's mad at us. He doesn't put us through storms just because he's mean. He puts us through storms so that we learn to trust him more. And we need to trust him more because he's not done with us yet. He's got something else that he wants us to do. And so we have to ride out the storm to get ready to do it. Because I guarantee you, if he was all done with you, if there was nothing else he needed you to do, you'd be in heaven this morning. I've talked to folks and they say, I just don't know why I'm here. And I always tell them, well, I do. I can't tell you the specifics. But there's a God in heaven that still wants you here because he loves you so much. If he were done with you, he wouldn't leave you in this mess. He'd take you home. And the fact that you're in a storm this morning means that he's preparing you to do something else for him. So I say to you this morning, like Paul, it's not my message, it's a message from God. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. He'll save you. Number two, if you believe him, if you believe him. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to save you, you need to do what Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In the book of John, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It says in the book of Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know that Jesus died to pay for your sin? And he died to pay for my sin. I've talked to people who said, oh, preacher, you don't know my sin. I'm a terrible sinner. I've read this book many times. I don't see where God makes any distinction between sin. I don't see him one time saying, well, it costs a little bit more for terrible sinners as it does for not so terrible sinners. And pray tell, somebody tell me, what is a not so terrible sinner? You see, we're all on level ground before the cross. My sin, even though I may not think it's very bad, it's just as bad as the worst sinner. Every single person that stands before the cross needs to be saved. So don't tell me this morning that your sin is too big for God to save you. Not anywhere in this book. The Bible says that Jesus paid for all sins. Every single one of them. And if we believe him and call upon it, he'll save us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, and you think there's no hope. There is no hope if you try to do it yourself. But if you come to Jesus Christ, he'll save you and give you a home in heaven. You know, Christians, we've been promised that God will never put more on us than we can bear. He knows our limits. And again, the storms come to build our faith. The storms come because he's preparing us to do something else. And the storms will pass. They will pass. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Number three, he'll save you. He'll save you. He'll save you. He says, whosoever cometh me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever will believe in him, he'll save. And he'll save every single person that comes to him. Every single person. There will be not one left behind. Just like 276 souls on this ship, the Bible tells us. Again, some of them had to swim. Some of them had to float. But God made the promise. I'll save every single one of you. And God makes the same promise today. He'll save every single sinner that comes to him and repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. No one will be left behind. No one will be ignored. No one will walk to the cross and ask Jesus to save them and leave lost. He'll save every single person that believes and calls upon his name. Would you do that this morning if you don't know Christ? Would you believe the simple promise, the promises that are in his book? I tell you what, if you reject Christ, if you keep saying no to him, one day you'll face a storm from which there'll be no escape. One day you'll face an eternity and again, I don't have time to describe it this morning, but you'll end up in a devil's hell and you'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what God wants to save you from. That's what he wants to save you from. He has a place in heaven for every single person. Every single person. Christian, morning will come. It will. The wind one day will quit blowing. The waves will be calm. We may be tossed around some more. We may get wetter and we may be colder. But the sun will shine again. Why? Why? So that you can serve. So that you can serve. There's still people. There's still men and women and boys and girls that need to hear the story of Jesus. There's still people that need a word of encouragement. There's still people that need to be prayed for. There's still people that we as God's ambassadors and representatives need to go to and tell them how to be saved. So you're going through the storm? Does it seem like all hope is gone? If you're not saved, you need to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. That's the only hope you have. But if you're saved and you're going through the storm this morning, and I say this with all sincerity, rejoice. You say, preacher, how can I rejoice? You don't know what's going on in my life. Rejoice. God's not done with you. He's got something that he wants you to do. Think about it. The creator of the universe has something that he wants you to do. You're not quite ready to do it. And so he's putting you through the storm to get you ready. Ready to serve. So fear not. Hang on. The ride may be bumpy for a while. But one of these days we'll get to that place. God says, okay, you're ready. Now, go serve. Go serve. Go serve. And there are people all over this room this morning that know exactly what I'm talking about because they've ridden out the storm and they're serving God this morning in a way that they couldn't before they went into the storm. Again, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, He is the only hope that you have. Only hope. You need to come to Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I pray that if there's somebody here, just one, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, this morning would be the morning that they'd make the decision. Right now would be the time that they'd decide that Jesus needs to be their Savior, and they'd ask Him. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to understand that the storms of life are there by design. You have a purpose and a plan for them. You're trying to do something in our lives to make us more ready to serve you. So help us to hang on, learn our lessons, and then be busy doing the things that you want us to do. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.